Welcome to the To Emerge podcast. We're so happy you're tuning in, and we want to take a minute to invite you to participate in an upcoming event with Emerge Mothers Academy. On December 13th, we're hosting our annual Christmas boutique. This boutique is an opportunity for moms to come and shop for themselves and their children for Christmas gifts at no cost to them. It's an awesome event that just encourages moms through what can be a difficult season. We would love for you to get involved. Want to sponsor a family or shop or volunteer at the event? Visit emergetwincities.org to get involved. This week on the To Emerge podcast, we're sharing an interview from Building Psychological Strength with April Seifert. April sits down with Becca as Becca shares her personal journey to starting Emerge Mothers Academy and the resilience it takes to emerge. You may recognize April's name from a previous To Emerge episode. And if you missed that past episode, be sure to scroll back and find it. You won't want to miss it. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy this week's episode on the To Emerge podcast.
If you take the adage of a lot of women are using this now in business, like we rise together. When the tide rises, we all rise. Now take that at an individual level and think, well, when your dignity is rising, your confidence is rising. And when your confidence is rising, you're being a better mom. And when you're being a better mom, you feel better about the time you were parenting, which means you can close that door when you go to work and focus on work.
Your mind can be your most valuable asset or your biggest liability, and you get to choose. This is the Building Psychological Strength podcast, where we explore ways to build resilience, build confidence, and make our minds work in our favor. We draw from the fields of psychology and life design to help us intentionally create a rock-solid mindset upon which a vibrant life experience can be built. My name is April Seifert. I'm a psychologist, a life design strategist, and co-founder of Peak Mind, the Center for Psychological Strength. Each week, I'll introduce you to an expert, a concept, a technique, or a hands-on practice that will help you build psychological strength in your own life. These are the tools to help you thrive. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Building Psychological Strength podcast. My name is April Seifert, and I'm your host. This week, we are zeroing in on one of the most difficult jobs maybe ever, and that job is parenting. This week, we are speaking with Becca Erickson. She is the founder of the Emerge Mothers Academy, which is an organization in Minneapolis, Minnesota, the Twin Cities area, that focuses on helping single moms or women who are basically the primary caregiver within their household, helping them thrive and build the skills and the psychological strength that they need in order to be the best person, the best woman, the best parent they can possibly be. Becca herself is uniquely equipped to lead this organization and also teach people the skills that they teach within the Emerge Mothers Academy. Becca, on paper, she has a master's in psychology. She also has an incredibly successful executive background with large corporations within the U.S. But beyond that, Becca has had an extremely difficult life. She found herself a single mom unexpectedly after just giving birth to her first child. And she speaks really candidly in her interview about what that experience was like and how she made life changes and showed up for her daughter in order to be the person that she wanted to have as a role model for her daughter. And in doing so, was able to pick up the pieces and create this amazing organization that is so meaningful and so valuable for the women that it serves. This interview is powerful on so many levels. Not only is Becca's personal story inspirational, because it absolutely is, but the holistic approach that Emerge Mothers Academy takes to helping the women that it serves thrive is one that we can all learn from. So whether you have kids, whether you are a woman or a man, I urge you to listen to this interview and pay particular attention to the areas that the Emerge Mothers Academy focuses on with the women who come through it. This holistic approach is absolutely critical because there's no way to tease one part out among the others. So focusing on that holistic approach is really the way that you can thrive. The other thing that I know you're going to take away from this interview is some hands-on techniques that Becca shares in maybe the last third of the episode. So listen to the end. The last third of the episode, she talks about some techniques that she and her daughter used after her husband left them in order to start to reframe some of the automatic thought patterns that they were having. You know, we always say in Peak Mind that your mind can be your most valuable asset or your biggest liability. And when we're going through times of crisis, we tend to tip naturally in the direction of that liability side. Our mind isn't always our biggest asset in those situations because what it's trying to do is search for risk and keep us safe. So we just naturally tend to tip in a direction of more anxiety and more negativity. Becca's way of harnessing the power of our mind to intentionally choose a different thought is one of the most simple yet elegant ways that I've ever heard somebody teach this. So please listen, if for no other reason, to listen for that incredible exercise. And as part of that exercise, as we're chatting through it, we have a really great conversation that starts to tease out some of the misconceptions that people have around these automatic thought patterns that we have, the ones that tend to be negative, the ones that tend to come up and question our abilities and help us or put us in a position where we're seeing ourselves as limited in some way. We have an amazing conversation around misconceptions about those and that they are not more authentic than the thoughts that we are intentionally creating for ourselves. I won't dive into it here because we go into it during the episode, but it is so critical for you to understand that distinction and see those thoughts for what they are. They are just a thing that your mind is throwing at you. They are not more correct or more authentic than any other thought that you can intentionally conjure up. So please listen for that part of this episode and use the exercise that Becca comes up with because it is so simple and so elegant. Now, before we dive into the episode, I have one quick announcement to make. This episode is going live on October 30th. So the morning of October 30th is when this episode first came out. On October 31st, so you have just slightly over a day to make this happen, we're taking down the offer to join the Peak Mind membership for only $1 for your first month. If you have at all been considering it, if you're contemplating, if you think it might be for you, if you believe that you could benefit from cultivating the resilience that Becca talks about in this interview, if you think that you could benefit from cultivating other factors of psychological strength like meaning and social connectedness and this ability to change your thought pattern and harness the power that your mind has in a direction that turns it into a valuable asset for you. If you've at all been considering it, now is the time, friends. That episode or that offer is ending in about a day. So end of the day on October 31st, the $1 for your first month offer will be gone. So join now. This is the time. The other plug I can give, since you guys are my audience on the podcast and you follow me each week, I feel like we are friends and family and I can let you in on a little bit more information than I would just generally throw out there to the general public. We're going to be releasing some incredible content only available available inside the membership for an extremely low price, which is the membership fee. It's included in that membership fee. We're going to be releasing some deep dive courses coming up that are really hitting on things that our members are asking us to dive into. These are courses that will be available to people outside the membership, but at a much higher price. And I'm letting you guys know now because literally in the next 24 to 36 hours, this is the easiest time for you to get in with the lowest barrier to entry in terms of just what you're going to have to pay for $1 for your first month. And just know that there is incredible stuff coming, that we're beefing up that membership even more. So we hope that you would join us. We know that the work we're doing within it has been just transformational and incredible for our existing members, and I want the same for you. All right, I am so excited for you to learn from the incredible Becca Erickson, to hear her backstory, and to hear the incredible way that she thinks about harnessing the power of our minds. Let's dive into that interview. Becca, this day has been a long time coming, and I'm beyond thrilled that we are officially on the line together recording, because I can't wait for this episode. It's going to be great.
Isn't it true? I mean, let's leave it to two really, really busy professional moms to take about 7 months to make something happen.
But good things are worth the wait. So this is going to be amazing. This is going to be awesome. Okay, so I have told our audience a bit about you, sort of the bullet points, right? The official stuff. But give us kind of the behind the scenes of who you are. Tell us a little bit about you and specifically some of the work you're doing with your amazing organization, Emerge Mothers Academy.
Yeah, awesome. I think so much of who I am is just a compass following my entire story, and then the whole rest of my story that I don't know yet, you know. And luckily I get to craft it, but also there was a lot of things that have happened to me that I had no control over. I think that's kind of the bleed over into, you know, when you're a humanitarian and you wanna take circumstances and pay it forward and push it forward, you do things like start charities. And so Emerge Mothers Academy is really, it's a passion project. It's a resiliency project. It's a humanitarian move for my own healing, my own development, my own challenge, but way beyond me. It's now 400 Twin Cities single moms, and there's 80,000 single moms in the Twin Cities. So to me, it's good work that's only getting started in our eighth year, and we have a long way to go.
I love that. Yeah, absolutely. What do you do to support single moms? Tell me a little bit about what that programming looks like.
Yeah, we are a full wraparound social service. And so you think about what it really takes to break feelings of isolation, shame, abandonment, betrayal, like all the dark, shadowy sides of us and the things that have happened to us, and break those down through social service, which is something that the government can't solve. It's not something that someone can typically solve on their own without a community. And then you build up a group of women, Emerge Mothers Academy team, who come around women in all kinds of holistic ways. And so as a social service, we fulfill our values of personal development and financial independence, constructive parenting, and health and wellness through four core programs toward any single mom, no matter why she became a single mom or if she's technically married but has an unsupportive co-parent. And we do that through counseling, like actual therapy with an LICSW. We do parenting classes for moms. We do work procurement and work placement, which is the most incredible program that we have. Mm. Not just the dignity of work and changing the affect of a woman and how she can like show a paycheck to her kid, but also like data-wise, statistically is an incredible program. Over 90% of our women get placed in work that increases their salary by $15,000 to $25,000 a year.
That's life changing.
It's not only life changing for her and then her kids and then their kids who now have a model of work, but then it's also really good for all of us because the economy has that mom shopping more often and we all have her paying into taxes rather than using government aid. I mean, it's just the most incredible program. Mm-hmm. And then the fourth program is a microloan grant. So that would be a grant program to an entrepreneur who's not really wanting to do work preparation in the traditional sense, where she's like, well, you know, Becca, a marketplace job doesn't make sense. I have four kids, the offset of childcare, you know. And so 5 years ago, we were like, what if we did a grant for entrepreneurs? Like, I'm obsessed with Shark Tank, so I do my own Shark Tank. And so that program now has supported seven entrepreneur women with over $20,000 dumped into their businesses.
That's wonderful. Here's what I love about the way that you started this, right? About just the initial description you gave. You talked about these, you know, four areas. It's such a holistic approach to that, to supporting an individual person. In particular, within Peak Mind, we talk a lot about this sort of false dichotomy between physical health and wellness and then mental well-being. We act as though somehow our brains aren't part of our body or something. They're a separate thing that we take care of completely separately from our body. And that just isn't the case. Like, if you're going to have a person who's going to be thriving, which it sounds like your goal for these women is to help them thrive.
Yeah.
If you want to help a person get to the point where they are thriving, you can't focus on one without the other. And then the rest of the surround around all of the responsibilities that that person has in their life right now with their kids and, you know, wanting to provide financially, that's an incredibly holistic approach to helping people thrive. That's amazing.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, you already touched on this. Nothing about us can be separated. It's, if you take the adage of a lot of women are using this now in business, like we rise together. When the tide rises, we all rise. Now take that at an individual level and think, well, when your dignity is rising, your confidence is rising. And when your confidence is rising, you're being a better mom. And when you're being a better mom, you feel better about the time you were parenting, which means you can close that door when you go to work and focus on work. You know, like, when you're doing each part right, it rises on all levels, psychological, physical, mental, financial. Like, the more you sharpen, you're sharpening all parts of yourself.
That's so true. It is absolutely true. And I guarantee any, you know, certainly mother, but any parent listening to this can attest to the fact that there has been a time, let's go to the negative and then we'll go to the positive. There has been a time when you've been so depleted, when you've just been at the end of your rope, you're exhausted, you've just been under a lot of stress, you've been doing all the things, you've been on for too long, and you, something happens within your relationship with your kid where you react in a way that isn't the way that you want to be reacting. It's not, you're not showing up as the parent that you want to be. And it's exactly what you said. It's all so connected. Yeah. Versus times when you've been pouring into yourself and you feel like you've got more resilience, you've got a little bit to spare. It's just a different ball game completely interacting with those little people.
Yeah, exactly. It's all tugs and pulls. You know, if one thing, and when it starts working smoothly, then they can tug and pull, but it all makes sense. You know, if you're going to smoothly enter into the home after a day where you're like, I approach my work with confidence, maybe I made some mistakes, but work is work, that's closed now. And I'm going to walk into the house and I'm going to have a smooth tug and pull with my children. Mm. Everything sets off the next thing. And people forget, in spite of what maybe happens to you, or what was done to you, or if something weird happened at work, you still have a choice. You can still think on top of your thoughts about what happened at work, and you can still open the door to the kids and be like, I am fully here with you now because I know how to be a good mom. Mm.
I love that. It's a, you know, it's that point about how I firmly believe, and I think, you know, you and I share this, that we have so much more control and so much more of a choice than we give ourselves credit for. And then sometimes than we like to admit. And sometimes that choice is just a choice about how we're going to react or how we're going to show up, because we can't control every circumstance around us, but we can decide whether we're going to let something be the thing that takes us down that day or whether we're still going to come back and show up as a person that we want to be.
No, for sure. And I think that's what's so unique about humans. I mean, like, you take a 4-part brain with lots of little brains compared to a frog. I mean, a frog's just, let's say they're constantly running on amygdala. Well, of course, they're only going to catch flies and croak and poop. Like, we are so much more complicated than that, which must mean we've been imparted to be able to think higher and take metacognition and frontal lobe level processing about the circumstance and be like, well, wait a second. The circumstance doesn't get to decide my human experience. The circumstance is going to happen, But because I have an existence that can think on top of my existence, like my choice can always trump my circumstance. Always. It's a choice.
That's huge. That's so huge. Something that I think people listening to this, or there's a potential for people to feel this knee-jerk reaction of, that's easy for you to say. Right? That's so easy for you to say. You don't know my circumstances. You don't know the difficulty that I'm under. I want to take just a moment and talk a little bit about how you came to start Emerge Mothers Academy, because you have not had a rosy, perfect journey. And I'm wondering if you'll share a little bit about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd be honored to. You know, the great start to this is I used to have my clinical psych, you know, degrees and masters, and I used to post them because I thought, like, Board of Ethics, that I had to, that it had to be prominent, you know, please, please put in a conspicuous place.
Look and at I'm how like, fancy I am.
Oh, gosh. And then, you know, women would come and they'd meet with me, and they had no idea I was a single mom and that I had been betrayed and left. And again, the Passion Project is birthed out of not wanting to wallow, crumble, and let my daughter see me as a pile of ashes, but instead for her to look at me and be like, whoa, my mom made choices. And she made a choice to rise up and to come out of her circumstance and to emerge. And that, I mean, this is where the whole thing branded, right? Emerge Mother's Academy. And that all comes out of a very hard, challenging single mother childhood, where I watched a very successful dad, vascular surgeon, got to have the kind of life that he wanted, and he built it around himself, but then left us. And then mom had to raise three of us alone. I used to flip through the Sears or JCPenney's catalog and just pretend I was getting clothes for school and like pick out outfits in there. And you become very resilient as a child because you think, well, this is all I've got. This, I don't have a different option of what my narrative will be. And so I continued to just, as a child, make choices. My mom's mantra was, perspective is everything. That was our family mantra. Perspective is everything. What perspective do you want to take about this situation? What perspective do you want to take about how, like how your dad is, or that you never see him, or that. And so she raised us to believe that our perspective was, okay, that was his choice. Now what's my choice? And I just wanted to be the kind of kid that was like, okay, I'm not going to play a pity party. I don't want to draw attention to me that like, oh yeah, I only have a mom. So I just started finding friends who had cool dads. And I just started, when I made money, I shared money because that made me feel good. When I would mow lawns, I would buy gifts for other people and wrap them up. I'm just like, I always was a gift giver. I always wanted to give things away. It was like, I was like an 8-year-old philanthropist basically. because those choices made me feel like I didn't need to be ashamed and I didn't need to have a pity party for myself anymore because I could make choices of things that made me feel alive and they made me feel well. Like sharing made me feel good, made me feel like I was a positive person. And then after into my 20s, I got married and to a guy who just completely adored me. We dated for almost 4 years and I was working for Target Corporation, working all the time working. He really wanted to start a family and I was very set on just being a career woman. But then after a few years, we did decide to start a family, but I became a single mom immediately. He jumped ship. And, you know, he left through the deep manipulative betrayal of infidelity. There is nothing that will mess with your mind more as a recently postpartum chubby mom than infidelity.
Yeah.
I mean, like so many things that were just verbally and emotionally and psychologically abusive toward me. Like, wait, what? The things that I was just led to believe about me, or that it was my fault, or that I could have done anything to control his really unfaithful bad behavior. Like, no, wait a second. I'm listening to being brainwashed. Wait a second, I'm going to make a choice to not be brainwashed by you anymore. And so Addie and I spent the first 3.5 years of her life just me and her. I was a mother-headed household with very little income. I got the house. I got her. I had every big financial stressor put on to me in the divorce, which then also meant that I had to become her champion parent because I was going to be her parent. So then that meant leaving Target Corporation and going into poverty and living on WIC, which is basically getting food from the government, relying on like the very strong hope that sometime someone will just drop groceries on my step. Like thinking like I could survive through this if someone thinks of me today and drops off some food, then we'll make it. You know, I filed for taxes one year where I earned $11,000. And as head of household on taxes, I ended up getting, you know, child tax credit, this, that, and the next thing. So I got $5,000 back, which was basically half what I made the whole year.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that was my life. Are you serious right now? Like, completely impoverished kid who, I mean, like, my parents are white collar professionals. My dad's a vascular surgeon. I mean, both are retired now, but then here I am, almost 30, in poverty. Like, oh man, April, it just, that season of my life shaped me and made me dig in more and more to the kind of woman that I wanted my girl to see. I've never had to become so resilient like I was in those years raising Addie. And those are isolating times. Those are hard times where you're really looking inside and being like, how do I make all parts of me sharpen so that my kiddo sees a woman who rises up?
Mm.
Like, oof, I got to just make every part of me better. And you know, fast forward that part to out of the middle of nowhere, getting this new guy pursuing me. And I'm like, oh, I hate men. I hate all men. All men cheat. All men, you know, like real bad taste in my mouth about men. And slowly, as I became healthy and well and didn't need any like false sort of idolatrous ways of getting better, just by doing the work and controlling my thoughts and teaching Addie how to like have thoughts over her thoughts. And we just slowly got better and better and better to the point where this new guy, Ryan, who I'm married to, he really proved to me that he had different fruits. You know, he was a different person. And so Addie and I got married to Mr. Ryan. and we became, you know, then the Erickson family. And then Ryan and I had two little boys. And those two little boys are the product of an alpha female marrying an alpha male. And they are absolutely the hardest thing I've ever done, ever, ever. There are many days I have just ended up with my palms open on the floor, bent over on my knees, asking for any kind of help whatsoever with my boys. Just very high-spirited, high-energy, very obstinate, red-headed boys. And Ryan, too, he's a very layered, complex. He's a Marine veteran, an entrepreneur, but we're very different. We come from different philosophies on how to do things, manage things, in all the most important ways for our values. We're very similar. I mean, the values I'm not willing to compromise on are my faith, my security, my family, you know, and all those things, everything is in place. But it's so many of the little things where you have to try to re-navigate life now with a new partner and a new co-parent while Addie's dad is still alive, right? And so he's technically also a co-parent. In summary, my life has never been easy. Never, never. Hard.
Right.
Every changing decade has always positioned me in a new challenging relationship.
Yeah.
And relationships are so key. And if that's the key and that's what's hard, then it's like, whoa, I guess circumstances when they rely on people will always be hard.
Life can be so much more than simply going to work and waiting for the weekend. But deep down, you already know that. You know that life can be so much more vibrant. You know you were made for more than just passively going through the motions. You know you can thrive, but to do that, you have to start from the inside out. And that is why I'm so excited to announce that for a limited time, we're offering you the opportunity to join us in the Peak Mind membership for only $1 for your first month. That's right, $1 to join us in the full Peak Mind membership. All you have to do to take advantage of this amazing offer is to visit us at www.peakmindpsychology.com, click on the membership, and enter the code THRIVE at checkout. Think about it. We all know what we need to do to keep our bodies strong. But what about our minds? What if you had the tools to build the psychological strength, confidence, and resilience to help you thrive at work, at home, and in the rest of your life? What if you made the commitment to living your life by design and not by default? All of this is possible. The goal of Peak Mind, the Center for Psychological Strength, is to help you build the mental toughness, flexibility, and resilience to thrive in your life. We draw from the fields of psychology and life design to help you intentionally create the vibrant life experience you know is possible. Through live online workshops, a 24/7 on-demand library, expert interviews, and monthly challenges, our members are building the psychological strength that it takes to thrive through life's ups and downs. And like I said, you can do it too. For a limited time, we're offering you the opportunity to join us for only $1 for your first month. Just visit www.peakmindpsychology.com, click on the membership, and enter the code THRIVE at checkout. Your mind can be your most valuable asset or your biggest liability, and you get to choose. So what choice are you making? Join us in the Peak Mind membership before this amazing offer goes away.
Here's what is so just remarkable about that. So as I mentioned, it's easy to hear the things that we were saying and say, well, sure, that's easy for you because you haven't had to go through something like that. You have. You've had an extremely difficult life. Something you mentioned about the way that you and Addie healed was around recognizing, I'm gonna sort of paraphrase or maybe say it a slightly different way, but recognizing that the thoughts you were having were just thoughts. They're just thoughts. They aren't you. They don't necessarily mean anything. They're not necessarily even truthful. They're just
exactly
thoughts. Our mind just goes. It just sends us things unintentionally, and we can be very passive in that and just passively receive what our mind is sending us. What it tends to send us is things like, wow, are you, I'm going to go to the like terrible place that my mind will go sometimes. Wow, are you a loser? Wow, are you not handling that very well? Wow, that could have been so much better. Look at how, you know, rough this situation is that you're in. Are you even able to handle this? I am not sure. I mean, that chatter happens and we can be passive recipients of it. Or we can do what you and Addie did and what I try to practice on a daily basis and what we urge people to do within Peak Mind, and that is to be more of an active discriminator of your own thoughts. You don't have to believe every thought that you think. You don't have to accept every thought that you think. And certainly those thoughts are not you. You are separate. Mm-hmm. Like your identity as a person is separate from those thoughts. Those are just a thing that's being given to you, right?
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about how you and Addie did that? Because that is like the, if there is a foundational building block of psychological strength, if there's one, this is it. Like the separation between you and your thoughts. Can you talk a little bit about how you did that?
I agree. Oh man. And you know, the way that I moved myself through it is obviously different than moving a toddler through it. But we both had our own unique but human experience of anxiety and really negative self-belief, right? And a complete destruction of self-confidence. A thought would come to me of like, woo, Becca, you must be the most ugly, disgusting, retarded woman. You are just ridiculous. You are so dumb and so bad that he left. He cheated. He had four girlfriends. So you are that bad. And, you know what, April? There were many times I didn't even have a replacement thought. I didn't even have a positive way to talk to myself, but I at least knew enough to go, nope, no. And I would at least stop it. Until I got better enough to know that there were ways to counter that and be like, actually, it is not true that I'm ugly and disgusting and I must just be a horrible wife and I must just be so repulsive to him. In fact, I'm really good at this, 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 and that. In fact, I'm very consistent in discipline with Addie. In fact, she's a remarkable toddler. In fact, I must be doing something great. In fact, when I look at a picture of myself, I'm not actually repulsed, but he, you know. And so even in the beginning, when there weren't ways to counter it or replace a thought, at least I told myself, no, 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 that can't be true. Mm-hmm. Now with Addie, you know, we're talking a 1, 2, 3, and 4-year-old at that point. I gave her her first sort of owning your anxiety and having thoughts over your thoughts type lesson by doing this super simple exercise. One night her mind was racing about, as an adult I say, about her worldview, about what adults do, about what adult choices mean to a child. I mean, I knew this is what she was processing through. Like, well, what kind of worldview will I have? Am I going to be a person like my mom or a person like my dad? And, you know, but for her, she just was like, oh, I have so much anxiety about you guys. And I said, hey, listen, you right now in this second can close your eyes and picture an elephant. And so she did. And I said, stop thinking about an elephant and think about a rose. And she goes, ooh, okay, now I'm thinking about a rose. Okay, now stop thinking about a rose and think about winter. I said, now think about spring. Now change it to fall. Now summer. She said, whoa, I can rapidly change my mind's eye. You know, oh yeah, look at that. You can. Like, you have control over your thinking. And she was like, oh my goodness. Wow, thanks, mommy. And so we just continued to do that with each other, like for each other. And as a 3-year-old, she has such high EQ. You know, her emotional quotient was insane. She could see if I was having a downer day. And she'd be like, mommy, stop that thinking. Think about how good of a cook you are. And so we started doing it for each other. And we're talking like mom and toddler here, right? Not even like me and my therapist. That would be even more mature, professionally done. You know, have a little more clout to it. But that's the easiest exercise to give someone in that first stage. Like, hey, you want to see how strong your mind is? Want to see how powerful your mind is? You can, in an instant, switch a thought of winter to spring. You can do it. You choose what you're thinking about.
That was huge. Number one, super stealing it with, I have a 3.5-year-old. And who actually sounds a lot like your sons. Mm-hmm. Man.
Oh, no.
And it's funny that we are having this conversation on a day when we had a really rough morning. So I feel like this is just all coming full circle and is wonderful. I love that exercise because it illustrates a few things. Number one, the thing that I think people need to be aware of is that the first step is cultivating the awareness that you're even having a thought in the first place. Yeah. And that sounds so dumb. And like, well, of course, April, I know I'm thinking. But do you? Because if you're not present and aware enough to recognize a thought can literally come into your head, you can get taken by it, and your emotional state is impacted by it, and off you go. This is the whole basis behind cognitive behavioral therapy and tons of kinds of therapy that we use in a clinical setting or that are used in a clinical setting today. That, you know, there are these thoughts, they impact your emotions and lead you to behave in certain ways. If you can become aware of the fact that a thought is happening, what you're talking about then is there's sort of passive thoughts that our mind sort of throws at us based on beliefs, based on prior experiences, based on subconsciously what might be going on, based on different cues in our environment. It's just chucking stuff out there and, you know, doing its best to send you what it thinks might be relevant or helpful. And those aren't always the same.
Right.
But it's sending you those things. Those are passive thoughts. What you're talking about is, again, the cornerstone of psychological strength in the way that we think about it within Peak Mind. You have the ability to play an active role in what the content of your thoughts are. And that perfect example of an elephant, a rose, now winter, now lunchtime, like whatever those things are, you can choose a different active thought. And there's no more, and this is where I think people miss something very key. I think they look at those passive thoughts and think somehow because they happened, quote, naturally, quote, without any effort and, quote, passively or automatically, somehow those are more authentic thoughts. Mm. They are not. They are just something your mind is sending you. They aren't you. They're not coming from your authentic core. Don't get caught up in that and mistake that. It's your mind. We are just primed as animals, like as evolved animals, to find threat, to make sure we're okay, to be a little anxious, to be a little negative. And so your mind tends to go in that direction.
Right.
And if you're not taking that intentional, active approach, exactly as you described in that beautiful exercise, you just get taken down that spiral with it. And that's where that psychological strength piece comes in. This is so good.
I know.
The other piece that you've mentioned multiple times, along with talking about Emerge Mothers Academy, talking about your background, talking about this relationship with your daughter, so many things, the women who come through your academy, is this notion of, it's kind of two things. It's relationships and social connectedness, and also meaning. Meaning like taking part in something meaningful that is bigger than you. And those two pieces are so core for our psychological well-being, the sense of community and the sense of connectedness within a social setting to people, and the focus on something that is bigger than us. Something as simple as what you did when your husband left you, to focus on your daughter and say, I need to be a strong woman for her.
Sure. Even people would be like, I can't believe you would acquiesce or agree to the divorce for her sake. I'm like, excuse me? You want me to teach her that mommy is second place? No, I am doing it for her sake. I will rise up for her sake. You know, I want to talk so much about meaning and purpose. I also want to share one thing that I always talk to my kids about when we're talking about thoughts that are just coming in, like, but it was natural. And it must be so definitive of who I am then. I talk to my kids about, do you understand that the toxic buildup and release of pooping is natural? Do you understand that too? Okay, oh right? God. So now we're talking about society and so sociological, psychological, emotional, everything coming in. Then a framework starts building, random thoughts come in. But some of it's toxic and some of it's not. And the actual natural process for you is to decide what's getting, you're just like you're pooping, what's getting pushed out and what gets to be entertained. You choose.
That is such a good analogy. And really, you know, great for talking to kids about it. But I mean, that is like extremely clear, even for adults. I love this. From now on, I'm going to use these examples. It's so good.
And when you have redheaded when everything is bathroom talk anyway,
right?
It's pretty easy to draw a parallel to the things that are toxic and why those things get pushed out because they are not needed.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Right? Okay. But meaning and purpose.
Yes.
Oh, how can we not spend hours on meaning and purpose? Even part of a spinoff of Emerge Mothers Academy is our podcast that's called To Emerge, where so many women are sitting face to face with me trying to figure out like, wait a minute, does that whole part of my story actually have meaning and purpose? Is that actually why I'm here having this conversation with you? Yes, this is actually what you're figuring out right now in my presence, is that losing 6 babies or losing a husband or some incredible adversity that I'm so sorry you had to face can actually be used to have meaning and purpose in your life. And I think, honestly, April, I think that is what psychological strength is. It's the people that can tip across the line instead of being like, ugh, wow, that was really bad. But at least I got through it. Sure, there's a mechanism of resilience there. But what about the people that tip a little further and they say, not just resilience, but also, I'm going to push this somewhere. I'm going to push it into the lives of other people. And all of a sudden it has meaning.
It takes a special kind of resolve to not only acknowledge the difficulty that you've gone through, but also make that intentional decision that you're going to create something good out of it. And that's another area where I think it gets mistaken sometimes because, you know, people say, you know, in my case, losing my dad when I was younger, I'm getting ready to give a TEDx talk where I'm going to talk about my dad passing away. And I'm going to get choked up right now. But part of the reason why this talk is so important to me is it is one very public way for me to take something that I learned after he passed away that has so greatly impacted my life and give it to other people. You don't have to go through that same experience that I did, but here, you can have the gift that I got out of it. At no point would I say, I'm glad my dad died. I'm so happy for that gift, like whatever. But if it had to happen, I didn't get to choose that. That goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning. These are circumstances that you don't get to pick, right? I didn't get to pick it, but it happened. And so is there anything in it that I can take away and learn from or give to others or build up from? And to me, like when you look at pillars of psychological strength, meaning and purpose and relationship and connectedness and all of those things are so important because they allow us to thrive through adversity. Mm. I mean, imagine what you can do on a normal day when it's just like you're going about your business and nothing bad is happening. If you can thrive through something like garbage like that, imagine how strong you are for your normal life.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And I think sometimes, you know, I look at your experience and it's like, man, it's so unfortunate that it had to happen. But maybe, right, no one wants that. But maybe the beauty of it is that now you get to share some strokes of growth and, you know, just some nice brush strokes of how you've developed through it. And you've, you know, spare someone else having to go through it because they just get to walk away with your nugget. Isn't that the beautiful part of being in a community and being humans that can develop together based on each other's stories? Like, holy powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm wondering if there is a way, you know, you've done so much. We've talked about this holistic approach that you take with Emerge Mothers Academy. And here you've used the beautiful analogy of you needed to sharpen yourself in so many different ways. And you take this holistic approach to helping other women sharpen themselves. I don't even believe, I just know that the things that you're doing apply across the board. You don't have to be a single parent in order to benefit from working on yourself physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, financially, all of those pieces that you talked about. I'm wondering if you can, if you could prescribe sort of some action steps for people to take as a result of what you've put together with Emerge, what you've experienced in your life, what you've experienced with the women that you work with within Emerge. What action steps would you have people take in order to, I guess, build themselves up psychologically or start to be a more active participant in their thoughts and start to sharpen themselves in the way that we've talked about so far?
Mm-hmm. Man, that's like multi-layered too. I mean, the simplest thing someone could even do while they're listening to this is that thoughts exercise that I did with Addie. I mean, if you can start there, that's only a building block to changing things to another deeper, like a psychological, a philosophical level of, wait a minute, if I can switch my thought from an orange to an apple, then maybe I can switch my thought to believing that the philosophy is that the world is out to get me, to believing, what if the world is handing me something and I can make purpose out of it? And if you told yourself that thought every single time, imagine you would become so resilient and you would become such an agent of change. Like, you're not only taking agency over yourself to say like, oh, maybe the world isn't out to get me. Maybe the world is handing me an opportunity. Now all of a sudden you become like an agent to other people where you're just activating and you're maximizing other people's gifts. You know, like, we have so much power inside of us. Like, this, not just being positive and happy inside your thoughts, even if life is just horrible, but just the energy of positivity. Like, you can take something and share that with other humans.
Besides
that, I mean, one thing to just chew on, and I'm serious, like, go ahead and just in this exact moment, take your thought and go from winter to spring and now to summer and now to autumn. I mean, there, did everyone just do it? Okay. Look how much power your mind has. Then in a few weeks, you can render that down into this entirely deeper way of thinking about yourself, thinking about yourself as not just a human, but a person of faith, or a person of tremendous wellness, a person of great financial capacity, however you want to define yourself. And that kind of rolls into like my other more meaty takeaway would be, I want you to really sit down and think about your value set. On a spectrum, make this line and have five islands or five dashes or, you know, five little compartments on your whole spectrum of who you are, and that is your value set. And you don't have to share this with anyone, because like, sometimes I'm kind of embarrassed about how mine gets a little bit skewed. Like, I say my value is my faith and my family and my security, but there are times when my value set is so heavily dependent on my security that if my husband makes a strange, like, financial decision for our family, it turns around my entire five sets to the point where I can't figure out who I am anymore. And now I don't even know how to talk to myself or think about myself. So what is the long line of value sets, and which one weighs the most? And you're going to know this because whichever one gets thwarted or gets tipsy, it starts throwing off the other four, starts to speak to you about like, which value set is actually the compass to the whole rest of your life, and is the compass to how you talk to yourself, and is the compass of how you make choice. And then you start to feed into the biggest value set that you want to be the guide. You know, the story that the old native grandpa told his grandson, he's like, well, you have the wolf on the right side of your shoulder and the wolf on the left, and one is ravenous and hungry and it loves to serve the darkness and it loves to just win and dominate and control. And then the other one loves self-preservation, but for the sake of the tribe and for the common good of humanity and for positivity and psychological strength. And the boy says, well, grandpa, which one wins? And he's like, the one you feed. You know, which one? This is the same with the value set. You have this long line of five value sets, and they kind of tip and flow, and some take over and some become sort of successors to the other. But the one that's going to guide you the best is the one you spend the most time feeding.
That was beautiful. That was such a good exercise. And I keep coming back to so much of the work within positive psych, but Martin Seligman is kind of the OG of positive psych, and so much of his work is very much based on values. Mm-hmm. It's if you can figure those out, everything else becomes so much more clear.
Agreed.
It just becomes so much easier. Like, why am I having a hard time in this situation? Oh, interesting. That's against one of the values that I hold so dear. It's not that I'm a bad person or that I'm doing this badly. It's that this is just not in alignment with what I care about.
Exactly.
Interesting.
That's 100% my belief about life.
That's
is
beautiful.
Really, you are guided by some values, and once something is getting usurped, it's telling you something. And if you thought one of your values was the predominant one, the fact that you're super duper agitated about something might be like a little cause to pause and look at what's the actual value set here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so good. I could probably talk to you for the rest of the day and we could just derail this thing into a 5-hour podcast.
See, I know.
That's dangerous. for people who want to connect with you more, for women who might be in a position where the Emerge Mothers Academy could really help them, help us find you on the internet so that people can learn more.
Yeah. Well, of course, anywhere you listen to podcasts, I host my own podcast called To Emerge. Please, you got to keep listening to April's, but you can find mine too anywhere. Emerge Mothers Academy is online at emergetwincities.org. We are on Facebook as Emerge Mothers Academy and Instagram as well, same thing. And the best way for anyone who's finding themselves in a mother-headed or solo parenting situation is to just do the web contact form that we have on the website, emergetwincities.org.
This has been so incredible. It was worth the wait, even though it took us so long.
Agreed,
oh my goodness.
My friend, agreed.
So worth the wait. And I want to thank you for being vulnerable with your own story. I want to thank you for being courageous and strong to use that story to create something of so much meaning and of so much value for other people. And I want to thank you for bringing that to a venue like this and helping take that knowledge and that expertise and wisdom and apply it in a way that every single person who listens to this podcast can get something out of. So thank you so much, Becca. This has just been incredible.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks, April.
It's a simple fact that nearly everyone in the world could benefit from building psychological strength, but not everyone will put in the time and effort to do so. But today you did. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Building Psychological Strength. Now, if you're interested in building the mental toughness, confidence, and resilience you need to thrive through life's ups and downs, visit us at www.peakmindpsychology.com. Also, if there's someone in your life who could benefit from this episode, please share it with them. And if you yourself found this episode valuable, meaning if you took away even one insight that you can use to build psychological strength in your own life, we would so appreciate it if you would drop us a rating and a review on iTunes. The thing is, the more ratings and reviews we have, the easier it is to get this powerful and important content out to the people who need to hear it. Remember, your mind can be your most valuable asset or your biggest liability, and you get to choose. So choose wisely, my friend, and I'll see you next time on Building Psychological Strength.
Thanks for joining us, and be sure to find April's podcast, Building Psychological Strength.
The To Emerge podcast is brought to you by Emerge Mothers Academy. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave us a positive review. A special thanks to our media manager, Laurel Goulson, and to Jessica Manning for our music.